Today, in an interview with Politico, Senator Joe Manchin urged Senator Al Franken to reconsider resigning. Three other senators are also urging Franken to stay, including two who called for him to step down but now feel that was a rush to judgment. The senators' evolving positions mirror three op-eds by New York Times liberal columnist Michelle Goldberg, who wrote in mid-November, "Franken must go," but a week later said accusations against him paled in comparison to those against President Trump, so why get rid of someone whose voting history supports women? And in a third op-ed, she concluded that Democrats will take the brunt of the fallout from harassment accusations because women's issues are important to them, and therefore they're more likely than Republicans to feel remorse. Let's let Michelle talk us through her thinking. Michelle, start with that first column. At this point, just one accuser, Leanne Tweeden, who said Franken forcibly kissed her, and then there was that photo of his hands hovering over her chest as she slept. You said he should go because you worried that feminists were walking into a trap.
I guess I was worried that it would play out something like how it did play out. They would force them into this very defensive position of saying, you know, look at the shadows under his fingers. He's not really touching her chest. And eventually he would have to leave anyway. And Democrats would have sacrificed their ability to quickly claim the moral high ground.
Well, yeah, you write that horrifying photo of Franken will confront feminists every time they decry Trump's boasts of grabbing women by the genitals. And so that was column number one. Then we come to column number two, when our allies are accused of harassment. You are now wobbling. Why?
Well, part of it was that eventually a bunch more allegations did come, but they hadn't come then. And I realized that I was really relieved that Al Franken hadn't taken my advice. And I also think that liberals are in a very difficult and tricky position here. There really are all of these people who are out to weaponize the Me Too movement against Democrats by peddling untruths. You saw recently some right-wing operatives forged a complaint against Chuck Schumer. You know, initially I had thought that the best thing to do for Democrats would be to just draw a clear, bright, hard line. And then since then, I've come to think there is going to have to be a way to make subtler distinctions, even if it's politically difficult, because we're going to see this again and again and again, where bad faith people who could care less about sexual harassment but are nonetheless trying to use Democrats' commitment to gender equality against them.
Well, here's where you start forming some of your thoughts about why this matters to different groups of people. And you quote Kate Harding. She argued against Franken's resignation. She said, if Democrats set this precedent in the interest of demonstrating our party's solidarity with harassed and abused women, we're only going to drain the swamp of people who, however flawed, still regularly vote to protect women's rights and freedoms.
Well, I want to be clear that I think both Kate made that argument and I responded to that argument at a time when there had only been that one accusation and there hadn't been more. And so we were both kind of grappling with it in this context. If this is all there is this enough? You know, I think that there are a lot of people out there who want to force liberal women to grapple with these issues without regard for partisan consequences. And again, I think that's a really bad faith approach because it is not a matter of indifference if you care about women's rights, who controls the various branches of government.
That's what you view the decision as, lose an Al Franken vote on women's rights to take the moral high ground on what he's accused of doing.
You know, Al Franken really was a strong ally for women's rights when it came to legislation, when it came to the questioning of witnesses in Congress. I think that feminists are still, well, all people are still kind of groping around for what the lines should be and what kind of consequences there should be for different sorts of transgressions, when and where redemption is possible. You know, and so I think maybe having a clear, bright line is the simplest policy in a very complicated environment, but I am still unsure.
Well, and that brings us to the third column. Franken is leaving and Trump is still here. How come?
Yeah, it's because Democrats care and Republicans don't. Certainly the leader of the Republican Party is not a person who is opposed to sexual harassment on principle. I don't think that the Republican Party as an organization is particularly committed to gender equality. And so you have Democrats kind of turning themselves inside out to live up to these ideals. Well, the fact is Republicans don't have these ideals, so there's very little pressure to live up to them.
Well, I mean, of course, people, Republicans would say, but wait a minute, where was this concern when Bill Clinton lied about having an affair in the Oval Office with somebody much younger? That is the ultimate abuse of power.
I don't know if it's the ultimate abuse of power. I would actually think, I think that preying on women who are clearly not consenting is a much more serious abuse of power. But I also think that, look, I wasn't old enough to vote. And so they think you have a generation of women now who, you know, it's not really fair to hold them accountable for positions that were taken almost 20 years ago. At the same time, you know, my feelings about Bill Clinton have changed to some extent. On the one hand, I think it's very clear that there really was a right-wing witch hunt against him. And I think it's also pretty clear that his relationship with Monica Lewinsky was consensual and was actually quite different than a lot of the situations that we're now talking about. I mean, as I've written, the one Bill Clinton story that really haunts me is Juanita Broderick. I mean, I think her story is consistent and credible.
And she actually accused Bill Clinton when he was, a younger man of rape.
Right, and told several people about it at the time.
And you say there were so many false claims about Clinton during impeachment that that got lost. But to your overall point, Democrats will feel more remorse about charges than Republicans because sexual harassment is an issue they care about. You point to a November Huffington Post YouGov survey. A majority of both Democrats and Republicans said sexual harassment is either a very serious or somewhat serious problem in the Democratic Party. So this is Democrats and Republicans, a majority, saying this is a big problem in the Democratic Party. Only 36% of Republicans said the same about the Republican Party. And while most Republicans said that Al Franken should resign, only 31% of the Republicans said Roy Moore should drop out, despite accusations that he preyed on, you know, teenage girls.
I mean, you have a president who's credibly accused of groping and sexually harassing many, many women. We just finished an election in Alabama in which the president endorsed and the party supported a man credibly accused of molesting children. Blake Farenthold is not going to – he said he's not going to run for re-election, but he's not going to resign his seat. And you don't hear any sort of drumbeat about accountability, again, because the Republican Party is not the party of people who take sexual harassment seriously. I mean, that is one of the positions on gender equality and on the value of women's leadership is right now one of the key differences between the two parties. And again, I think that's why it's not hypocritical for feminists who want to hold powerful men to account to also worry about the partisan impact.
But what about Fox News, one of the first to fire men who had egregious behavior? Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly.
What I would say is that Fox News will fire men when it's extremely egregious. You know, so yes, Roger Ailes, who basically treated Fox News as his personal sadomasochistic brothel, Bill O'Reilly, who had a $32 million settlement against one woman. But even now, Fox News has a host who is being sued by a former Fox News contributor who accuses him of rape.
Well, there's some fascinating research that the Washington Post is reporting. This is The Fix, which has done some analysis of federal sex scandals going back to 1974. And they say Republican sex scandals are more likely to involve adultery than Democrats. Democrats, on the other hand, officials, were twice as likely to bring their bad behavior into the workplace. But according to this analysis, Democrats have been twice as likely to win their next reelection contest as Republicans. It's 53% to 25%, partially because voters hate hypocrites. And there are few things more hypocritical than a candidate who runs on family values as Republicans do and then cheat.
I'm more interested in the differing views of the candidates' voters. There's research out that shows that Democratic men are now more supportive of gender equality than Republican women are. And so it's not necessarily that the Democratic Party is always acting with unsullied moral purpose as much as it's accountable to voters who care about this stuff. And the Republican Party is not.
Michelle Goldberg. We'll link it to her columns at hereandnow.org. Michelle, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.